another science show on RN, where we now leap to Western Australia and Curtin University to look at jets. These are vast emanations from black holes going into space. I had no idea how huge they are. And Associate Professor James Miller-Jones studies them out west.
So we see jets coming out of any very dense central object. So anything that has strong enough gravity to pull matter inwards. So that can be a young star that's just forming. It can be dense objects like dead stars, white dwarfs, neutron stars, or black holes. Or it could be a supermassive black hole at the centers of galaxies. All of these things use their gravity to pull in material from around them, the surrounding gas. And there is a universal physical process that can convert some of that inflowing material into outflows and accelerate the particles into very narrow beams that we call jets.
How big are they?
So it depends how big the thing they're coming from happens to be. So the small jets around a young star, for instance, can travel maybe several tens of light years. The supermassive black holes that power jets, they live at the centers of galaxies, and those jets can extend over thousands, tens of thousands of light years, or even across the scales of an entire galaxy cluster.
So when you say small ones, as you did just before, we're talking relative, aren't we? Small, gigantic ones.
Indeed. So a black hole, the minimum mass that we know of that can form astrophysically is maybe three times the mass of the Sun or so. So that's something like one with about 30 zeros after it, kilograms. So from our perspective, they're quite big.
Can you see these jets? Can you see them in real time?
Yes, we can, with a technique that we use in radio astronomy, where we separate a lot of antennas across a very large distance. We can use that to gain a lot of resolution, a lot of magnifying power, if you like. So by putting together the signals detected by radio antennas on opposite sides of the planet, so for instance, in New Zealand, in Australia, in South Africa, or maybe across the continental US and out to Hawaii, or all across the globe, you can see enough fine detail to see some of these jets, at least from the nearby black holes in our own galaxy, move in real time on a timescale of minutes.
I remember when they used to say that black holes don't exist. And here we are talking about clear things that you can see around them, giving you an impression not simply of the jets themselves, but of the black holes. You can see them by proxy.
That's right. So we can never directly see a black hole, at least not with electromagnetic radiation. Of course, the recent discoveries from LIGO, the detection of gravitational waves, that tells us that gravitational waves are there, and we infer they have to have come from objects that are massive enough, they must be black holes. So we can see them now, but in gravitational waves. In electromagnetic radiation, of course, nothing can escape. In that case, we're seeing the gas around them. So we're seeing hot gas that's falling inwards that emits in the X-rays, and the high-energy physical processes that go on to accelerate particles create the radio waves that we see from the jets. So we see things around them, we infer their presence, and we can use that to study the properties of the black holes themselves, how massive they are, how fast they're spinning, and other properties of the system that it finds itself in.
And what have you found out most recently?
So one of our recent projects was trying to use this technique of actually imaging the jets in real time to see them moving outwards, to find out how fast they were moving, and therefore to try to tie back the motions of the jets to when they must have been ejected from the black hole, and to see what was going on at the same time in the gas that was falling in. And that can tell us what it is that actually triggers the generation of these very energetic jets that have such an impact across the universe.
Well, of course, we know about Stephen Hawking's radiation, which coming out of the black hole. But here you've got jets, which are even more substantial in terms of material, one would imagine, or energy. How do you get that coming out of a black hole that's supposed to consume everything?
So it's all down to magnetic fields. That's the good answer to anything in astronomy. There are physical processes that twist up magnetic fields. If those magnetic fields are anchored in the material that's falling in and they pass through the event horizon, and the black hole is rotating, that can generate a current and basically accelerate particles to very high energies that then move outwards. So we are taking the rotational energy of the black hole and transforming that into these tremendously energetic outflows. So yes, you can do that. Stephen Hawking, the Hawking radiation that he put forward, that is for an isolated black hole, and it occurs at a very, very low rate for any astrophysically sized black hole that we might know of. Whereas these things, as long as large amounts of gas are falling into a black hole, they can generate these powerful jet-like outflows.
Now, you spent a long time in Oxford, and now you've come to Perth. Why?
The simple reason of the Square Kilometre Array and all the exciting activity surrounding that. So I came here about 8 years ago, and this was at a time when radio astronomy was just beginning to grow in Western Australia. The establishment of the International Centre for Radio Astronomy Research and the astronomy departments at both Curtin University and the University of Western Australia. And the sheer amount of activity and the potential of what was going on here was very attractive. You know, now, several years down the line, it's wonderful to see that being realised in precursor instruments like the Murchison Wide Field Array, and we're certainly looking forward very much to how that develops and indeed into the SKA project in the next few years.
But does this importance of Western Australia for astronomy, is that generally known across the rest of Australia and the rest of the world? In other words, is the general public aware of this immense activity?
Certainly within Australia, I think it's very much recognised. There's been such a huge growth in astronomy thanks to the radio astronomy activity in the Murchison that it now makes up a substantial fraction of the domestic community. So I think certainly within the astronomy community, there's certainly a recognition of that. And we have a very active outreach team at the International Centre for Radio Astronomy Research that engages people up and down the state, both nationally and also internationally. So I think the perception is certainly growing.
Growing impressively. Professor James Miller-Jones at Curtin University. And I see that one of our science show regulars, Professor David Blair of University of Western Australia and Gravitational Waves fame, was elected into the WA Science Hall of Fame this week. And Peter Newman, also of Curtin, was named WA Scientist of the Year. Lots of action out west. And so to National Science Week and our own star.